The phoenix has hatched from the golden egg that rolled from the second-hand carpet that Mother had bought from the shop in the Kentish Town Road. The carpet is a wishing carpet, and the children know as well as you that the adventures are only just beginning. It was on a Saturday that the children made their first glorious journey on the wishing carpet. It was on the Sunday that the cook threatened to hand in her notice.
"It's the children," she said. "There's that new carpet in their room, covered thick with mud both sides, and sakes alive knows where they got it. And all that muck to clean up on a Sunday."
"I'm very sorry," said Mother gently. "We will speak to the children." Jane's candid explanation that the mud had come from the bottom of a foreign tower, where there was buried treasure, was received with such chilling disbelief that the others limited their defence to an expression of sorrow and of a determination not to do it again. But Father said that children who coated a carpet on both sides with thick mud were not fit to have a carpet at all, and indeed shouldn't have one for a week.
"Never mind," said Anthea. "We've got the phoenix."
But as it happened, they hadn't. The phoenix was nowhere to be found. Sunday ended in a damp, brown gloom.
"Cook's a cantankerous cat," said Robert.
It was a very long week, what with no carpet, no phoenix, and the poor baby had developed such a horrid cough that Cook said it was whooping cough as sure as eggs. At last it was Saturday, and the carpet was restored. There had been plenty of time to decide where it should be asked to go. They would ask it to go somewhere where you can't have whooping cough, and they would take the lamb with them. Lamb was the name they had given the baby, because the first thing he ever said was "Bah!" They dressed the lamb in his outdoors clothes. Then, while Anthea rushed through the house in one last wild hunt for the missing phoenix, they moved the chairs and table off the carpet.
"It's no use," she said, "but I know it hasn't deserted us. It's a bird of its word."
"Quite so," said the gentle voice of the phoenix from beneath the table.
Everyone fell on its knees and looked up, and there was the phoenix perched on the crossbar of wood.
"I've been here all the time," said the phoenix, yawning politely. "If you wanted me, you should have recited the Ode of Invocation. It's 7,000 lines long and written in Greek."
"Couldn't you tell it us in English?" asked Cyril.
"Couldn't you make a short version?" asked Jane.
"Oh, come along, do," said Robert, holding out his hand. "Come along, good old phoenix."
"Good old beautiful phoenix," it corrected.
"Good old beautiful phoenix, then. Come along, come along."
The phoenix fluttered at once onto his wrist.
"This amiable youth," it said to the others, "has miraculously been able to put the whole meaning of the 7,000 lines of Greek invocation into one English hexameter. A little misplaced some of the words, but, oh, do hurry up, good old beautiful phoenix," said Cyril. "We shall have to get back before dinner, or cook will blow the gaff."
"She hasn't sneaked since Sunday," said Anthea.
"She..."
Robert was beginning, when the door burst open, and the cook, fierce and furious, came in like a whirlwind and stood on the corner of the carpet, with a broken basin in one hand and a threat in the other, which was clenched.
"Look here," she cried, "my only..."